What time is it?
It's time for Ricketts Bursey.
Hey, it's Wicked Spursy, Mike, Steve, and Dave. Unfortunately, no Steve tonight. We are missing him, but we're hoping to maybe come back and give you a quick hit later in the week where we can get the Trace Amigos back together. But for now, you got Mike and Dave, your two favorite bearded bad boys. So, Mikey, my man, how you doing? First, let me say, Red Sox full uniform tonight. I'm liking it. I think I saw a 17-0 defeat of the Chicago Scrubs earlier in the week. So I want to commend you and your boys on that. But how you doing otherwise?
Dude, I'm rolling. It was a long weekend. I'm not rolling.
You're exhausted. Be honest.
You know what it is? We just got on and I told Dave, I was like, man, my life's in tatters right now. Yeah, I don't know which way is up. And I think it's, you know, partially because of the travel that I did. We went down to Massachusetts and saw my New England Revolution. And without getting too much into the MLS drama with USL right now, the MLS keeps finding ways to disappoint me. So that, and then they keep finding ways to make me very happy and very excited. I went and saw my New England Revolution get absolutely fucking throttled by Inter Miami.
Yeah. You got to see the man in person. What was that like? Was it what you expected? Better?
First of all, I knew he was little.
He's tiny, right?
I didn't know he was that little.
He's a little fella.
Seeing him like in the lineup next to Busquets, you know, it's like,
yeah.
He's a little dude, you know, and I kept on commenting to Amy. I was like, he's so little.
Of course, it's easy to sneak around and get between people, right? When you're that tiny.
So it was all it's cracked up to be. He didn't have a great first half, but I feel like he was kind of playing. So Rev scored like 40 seconds into the game. Tomas Chankalai scored, and he did his cool little celebration that he does where he flips the hat off. You know, and bows to the crowd. It was really nice. It was a great goal, man. Goalie came too far out. He just chipped it over like a long chip.
Nice.
So first half, you know, 1-0, and then the man showed up. Dude, and like I was watching him like the entire game, and he's like a fucking ninja, right? Like you always hear like he looks like he's being lazy out there, or he's
judicious in his
movements, slow.
Right?
Yeah. He plays on the left, or he plays on the right and right wing, if you will. But he kind of drops back into midfield. He plays more centrally. He comes back, plays like a number 10, almost comes back to the other side of the field. It's weird because he just kind of walks around out there and then he kind of just drifts into space.
Yeah.
And then he just like instantly goes into action.
Yeah. And they always lose track of him.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. So he scored his first goal and I got a great video of it. And he scored his first goal and like the run he made was just like pinpoint. Like beautiful, beautiful ball and like right up through the middle. Like, and this Revs team just like they just didn't know how to defend him. They didn't know how to defend him. He just boom, took right off. As soon as the ball was kicked, he took off, maybe hoping that the ball would get there. But what I did notice, which was kind of funny, is that like he stepped a couple of times and then finally got the ball onto his left foot. Like he didn't want to put the ball on his right foot and try to shoot.
Interesting.
Yeah. But you know, it is what it is, but it was fun time. Messi scored twice. Got to see Luis Suarez score a fucking banger. Like it was really nice. Just, you know, too bad for my Revs. they're in a transition year. You know, they got a new coach.
Listen, I'm just glad you I mean, you got these tickets months ago, it seems like. And I'm just glad you actually got to see Messi play, because I had my doubts, as you know, right? Like, I just thought, oh, this is just another money suck that they're going to manage to take out of people and have Messi sitting on the bench.
They really brought it. I mean,
that's good.
And at the end of the game, you know, probably about, I think it was probably when they announced extra time. Suarez had just scored. They were lining back up, and Messi kind of took the time to wave to all the fans.
Nice.
I mean, the place went wild when he scored, right? Both times. But it was like everybody was wearing Revs gear, but like everybody was also rooting. It was like, you know, 99% Messi fans, 99% Revs fans, you know.
That's funny.
Very and then the good. 1% were the people who didn't know soccer. They just wanted to go see Messi play.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then, but so you followed up that experience with a Spurs match, right? Did the Boston Spurs thing. How was that?
Boston Spurs, wonderful as ever. You go and you get there a little early, you know, 30 minutes before the match, long cross opens up, you get in, you see some familiar faces. It was my fourth time down there this year. Mm-hmm. I went with you once and I went with Lucas twice. We experienced three draws up until this game. And then, but like the spread they put on the, for this match, they did a full English.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the beans and everything, like they went all out, brown bread, beans, the eggs, potatoes. They could have done with some smaller tomatoes, but like, I'm not going to get on their case about it. It was good though. Had a couple of Guinnesses, as is my match tradition with Spurs. And, you know, just kind of enjoyed the time there, met a couple of nice new folks. And then I got to speak with Tom, who we've had on the podcast before.
Yeah. Very nice.
The chairman, and a couple of other friends. So it was good to get back in down to Long Cross and talk to those folks, and you just have a good time talking to folks, you know, outside of what the match was.
Very good. Did you take the whole family or just you?
Whole family went down this time. Yeah, yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
What the girls think of it? Was this their first time there?
Lily had a blast. She, the kids were both like wicked tired. It took like a fucking 2 hours to get out of, like, I hear people, I heard people, you know, this week bitching about how long it took to get out of Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, how long it always takes to get out of there. They don't have the experience of getting out of the stadium at Gillette and then having to go to an actual parking lot
mm-hmm.
and a parking situation where, sure, it's great to tailgate before the game, but when you're getting out the game at 10:30 PM.
Yeah.
I mean,
trouble,
but we had a great time this weekend. The girls loved it. Amy wasn't the biggest fan of some of the language that was being used. Some of the chants. There were some London folks there who, came and brought some of their songs, and she was like, I my ears perked up. I was like, oh, I haven't heard that one here before.
That's funny. they don't normally do this.
Yeah, it's the, you know, the fucking hate Arsenal chant, you know.
Yeah,
fucking love Tottenham, fucking hate Arsenal, you know. But it was fun. It was a good time, great weekend. Did you have anything special going on or
nothing too special going on? Yeah. You know, it was really exciting this weekend. Mowed the lawn. First time. Very exciting stuff. You knew this, but I thankfully finished that half marathon. I think that was a week ago, fully intact. So,
yeah,
you know, feeling good about that.
Excellent.
At least I finished very slowly, but I finished. And
baby steps, David.
Yeah, baby steps. But to where? That's the question at my age, right? Like, baby steps to where? So, you know, I'll just keep taking baby steps. But
that's right.
Otherwise, all good, man. Got the oldest son coming home in about a week and a half to spend about a week with us, which would be nice. Got my mom is coming out at the same time, so we're gonna have a full house. And then the youngest, who's up your way in Burlington, is coming home middle of May for a couple weeks before he moves back up north for the summer. So yeah, we're gonna have a busy house in the month of May, but
that's,
look forward to it.
Hey, why not, man? Why not?
Good stuff. And you know, my baseball team, who, you know, was the worst team in baseball until they went on a run this weekend, and now now Jake Berger's Florida Marlins are I'm sorry, Miami Marlins are the worst team in baseball. Jake, sorry, we hope you're still listening in season, but man, I don't know what to say. I want you to do well, but I also don't want the Sox to be the worst team in baseball. But they're on a 3-game hot streak, so you know, got that. And then my Bears had a good weekend.
I was going to say,
did your Commanders had a good weekend? You know,
they
both
did.
Our football teams are making some productive moves. So we might have some exciting
Commanders
years.
Had 8 picks in the first 3 rounds. 8.
Yeah, that's
big. It doesn't happen to us.
And they even signed your Notre Dame quarterback as well, just for, you know, good measure.
I showed Amy and she was like, "Oh, that's my guy."
he's a handsome fella. You gotta give Hartman credit, man. Cannot argue with that.
He is a handsome fella. He'll never see the field.
Very true. But hey, there are a lot of backup quarterbacks that make good, healthy careers out of never seeing the field. You know, like you can pay for your kid's education and retire nicely.
The great thing is he's gonna keep that nice beard and that beautiful head of hair and that face all intact.
He'll do some shampoo commercials and whatnot. You know, Dove body wash. Yeah, it'll be good stuff. So hey, other than that, this weekend there was a football match, the round ball kind.
There sure was.
Let's talk about that a little bit, man. I mean, there's so much to be said. There's only so much we can say. Where do you want to go with it? What do you think's worth digging into?
I think it's worth probably let's not dwell on like too much of the game recap. You know, we don't really have to do that. We can get into, let's just say, I think Spurs are in a spot right now where tactically it's, you know, they do what they're supposed to do. Yeah. I think at times the quality isn't there, and I think the mental toughness isn't there.
With one exception, set pieces. They don't do what they're supposed to do on set pieces. That's its own horrible.
I almost think they do what they're supposed to do on set pieces, which is they don't know what to do. Because they're not being coached. I mean, how many times this season have I just gone completely off the wall?
You go all caps, like, when are we going to take care of this? That's usually what I see from you pretty much every match, right?
Yeah. And it's just like, I don't understand. Like, we had 2 weeks to to draw up a plan to either protect our keeper from getting his gloves taken off by the defender behind him. Yeah. Or to protect the near post. And all credit where it's due. Like, Arsenal is probably, I think they are the top set piece scoring team in the league, or at least top at scoring from corners. That's fantastic. But, and all due respect to them, they keep saying that we conceded 2 goals and we did not concede 2 goals.
Right.
It was Højbjerg's one boneheaded thing that he does every game, which is
misplaced.
I don't even know what he was doing. He got up above the defender.
He got up. Yeah.
What a fucking finish.
He got up more than Van de Ven ever does. Right. Mickey can't jump for a big, tall, skinny guy, you know,
right. But like he got up there and it looked like he was trying to put the ball in.
It did. It really did.
I don't know if, like, maybe he was trying to head the ball off to the side, but it looked to me like he was trying to put the ball in.
It's funny, Mike, when you were a kid, I mean, I played basketball when I was younger. By the time I got to high school, it was, you know, past me. I was not a basketball player anymore. But did you play basketball like as a young kid at all?
Yeah, because I was 5'10" in seventh grade.
Yeah. So like, think about it. You'd be in like basketball practice as a fifth grader. And like, how many times would you practice inbounds plays like over and over and over and right? Like, it was just drilled into you. Like, here's what we do. Here's what you do.
Every single practice.
It was every single practice. Like,
inbound plays. Breaking the press.
How is it that these professional footballers, like, that they're not going over this stuff? And if they are going over it, it's not sinking in, man. Like, I, you know, Coach Steve and Coach Nick's football team of 4-year-olds is probably going to be more effective at defending set pieces. Although that's a funny thing to imagine
if they even do them.
Yeah. Let's imagine, though, right? Let's imagine a 4-year-old with a corner.
My kid didn't know how to do a throw in until he was like 7.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Just didn't come up. But yeah. It's just brutal.
Well, that's not what they were teaching, you know, but
true. So, but that's not the only problem, right? Set pieces are not—they're a big problem, but they're not the only problem.
They're not the only problem, but like we can actually point to the players that went out there and worked their asses off. Nice to see Decky back. Decky looks like he had a couple of games on the bench where he's just like making some appearances off the bench. This is what we need, is we need that rotation. Mm-hmm. We need those rotations. Yep. It keeps people fresh, and Decky is fresh, and Brennan Johnson looked fresh coming off the bench, right? And they can interchange all day long. I'll love it. We need to get Gio Lo Celso more involved. Like,
I'm reading that they want to extend him a couple of years.
I read that he might actually want to. He actually likes being there. So
I wish he could get a good run of like impactful play and health. You know,
yeah, it's the health issue, right? It is the health issue. But like Decky for me, possibly man of the match for Spurs. He was very industrious. He looked like the Decky of old. Maybe it has something to do with the energy he got from just having a baby. Congratulations, little Decky in the family.
Yeah, because the baby's gonna take your energy very soon, man. So yeah, enjoy the bump.
And we'll get into that, because Dave has a theory about AI refs. So
yeah, indeed.
You know, but anywho, I really saw there were a lot of players. Pedro Porro was coming back into form. I really think that Spurs for large parts of the game dominated the game, man.
I loved Romero's first half. I thought he was the. To me, he was the man of the match for the first half.
I think he was great in the second half too. I honestly think that, you know, and for all the digging out Ben Davies gets, like, that, sure, you're going to get beat by Saka. He's one of the best players in the world, right? Mm-hmm. He's certainly probably a top three winger in the world. And you're going to get beat by somebody like him, you know, especially Ben Davies, who's what, 31 years old or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, he doesn't have his freshest legs anymore, but he worked his ass off. That goal never happens. Have they called that penalty?
Of course not.
And I've been hearing like about how they questioned it on Sky.
Yep.
Over there, over here, they talked about it, almost kind of relentlessly.
Even Lee Dixon was on it, right?
Lee Dixon and the Robbies were both on it. Right. You know, for better or for worse, Lee Dixon, you know, is a fucking piece of shit gooner, and I can't stand his commentary when it comes to Spurs, but he was right. It was a penalty all day, every day. And those guys on that broadcast can hear what's going on.
Yeah.
Right. So they showed the booth, right? They can hear what's going on. So there was some talk about how it was recommended that he look at the screen on that.
And he declined the opportunity.
He did decline the opportunity because Michael Oliver is, you know, he's not a Spurs man. He's not really an Arsenal man for that matter either. But I feel in it, and it's going to get a little conspiracy theory, but I feel like the Premier League saw what's going on with Liverpool right now. They're not in their best form. They really need something of a challenge at the top for the championship, for the title, right? For the league. And if it's not going to be Liverpool, it has to be Arsenal, right? So taking on Man City. It's conspiracy theory adjacent, but you never know what's going on, you know, in those worlds. But
I don't think you can call it adjacent. That's a straight up conspiracy theory. You can't.
Hey,
you
look,
can't.
Dude, Chris Wood was just turned in by his own fucking team for match fixing.
Really? I didn't see that.
Nottingham Forest. Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
They said he missed those goals on purpose. His own team turned him in.
It's like that. Who's the guy in the NBA that dude who didn't play much, but when he did play, he made sure that he didn't play much because he was having his buddies bet the.
Yeah,
but the unders on the
amount. I can't remember who it was, but
yeah.
So I mean,
Jonte Wilder or something like that, or some name.
Yeah.
By the way, have you seen the rumors that Anthony Edwards for the Wolves is Jordan's son? Have you seen those rumors? You want to talk conspiracy theories?
Yeah. That's nonsense. That's nonsense.
That's intriguing to think.
It's about. It's just like you know, the Princess Di's driver and six other different dudes are. Or Harry's dad, you know.
Hey, you never know, right? You never know. What are you drinking over there, by the way? I know we're not doing a traditional Hey Mike this evening, but what are you?
Oh God, I was going through the fridge. I'm trying to drink the fridge dry.
How's that going?
It's very slow because I don't drink like I used to. But
are you hitting the expired ones? And you're like, I let this one go.
It's
too long.
It's like the ones that I save for the people at the Wicked Spursy Barbecue. That you know, so they don't get into my good beer.
I had like a sip of sunshine once. It had been in my fridge for literally 2 years because I've been holding on to it for, you know, people visit and whatnot. And it was a poor imitation by the time I got around to it.
Yeah, I got the one we did it before is the Jamberry Hologram.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blackberry cheesecake sour ale. Boy, it's delicious. Nice. Yeah, it's delicious. It's good. Nice.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. What are you drinking? You got anything fun?
I am drinking some delicious Merlot in a Burlington Beer Company glass. Very nice. The Merlot came from a 2021 boxed edition.
Special, fucking special edition.
special edition, man.
Bronzia's special edition Merlot. Merlot, as they say.
I think this one might be Bella or Vella or whatever it's called. But yeah, you know, good stuff. Very fancy. Yeah. Where else you want to go, man? You want to stay on the match? You want to get to the broader world or broader world of Spurs?
Yeah, we can sit here and discuss like the match all day and every day. We're gonna have the same takes on the match as just about everybody else, you know.
Yeah, Extra Inch usually copies our takes because we're recording at the same time as them, but we should probably let them have them this week, I think.
I think they actually did record. Yeah.
Did they record already?
Yeah.
That's true. It's like midnight over there. So yeah.
Well, I was driving home and I had to listen to something. Everybody in the car is, you know, passed out cold. Because we stayed up so late and then went down, got up early. But I did listen to Wendy's reaction. I was like, oh, because I got the notification that Wendy's reaction came out from Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the Patreon. And I was like, oh, I gotta at least listen to this. And Wendy said a lot of the same things that I was thinking at the time. And I was speaking to myself out loud. I was like, you know what, Wendy, you're right. You're right. And then I was
kids like dad's talking to himself again.
Yeah. 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 Well, luckily they were passed out, but, I did. I also was like, at that point, I was like, all right, let's go see what is going on in Fighting Cock World. And Flav did the five statements and it was like, you know, I was like, man, I got to listen. I actually listened to podcasts before we recorded.
Yeah.
And it does give you a little bit of a different kind of view sometimes of the game where you're like, oh, well, I didn't really think of it that way.
Right.
And it's nice. And it's nice. But, you know, obviously, I usually wait to listen to my podcasts. My new Monday tradition is Lads Anonymous. If you guys have not heard that yet.
Yeah, that's a good
one. It's a wonderful one. Still not healthy for the kids, but Ricky does it well.
Ricky does a nice job. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Flab does a nice job of letting Ricky drive. You know, it's a good one.
It's a good one. And it's not about football. It's about friends and
things
that friends do.
And being old. They talk a lot about being old, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like us.
Right. So yeah, can I throw out an outlandish comment and just let you react to it and take it wherever you want?
Yeah. That's usually what we do anyway, but
yeah, I shared with you a tweet or an ex post, but a tweet still rolls off the tongue a little bit better. I'm not going to share the poster because this poster tends to be a little overzealous and dramatic about things, but occasionally has interesting thoughts. And basically the gist of it was, some guys played for the badge and some guys really didn't show it, you know, and that just got my wheels turning. Like, yeah, you know, like I'm all in on Ange. I'm all in on what's being built. I like the direction of the club. I like where we're going. I like the fact that, you know, it appears the club is going to support, you know, getting more players that are going to be the type that Ange wants. Like I'm all good for that. And then I think strategically about things, and I've flashed back, and I don't know if this, it felt egregious when I said it. I'm going to be cagey here for a minute. After the Champions League final that Spurs lost, 2019, I made a comment to a former member of Vermont Spurs who shall not be named. I made a comment to that individual that I thought it was time to sell Harry Kane. And I felt like that was like dirty to even say something like that. But, you know, at that point in time, it's 2019. He had come off a bunch of injuries. He was younger. He was definitely still, let's be honest, he's still at the peak of his skills. But
he forced himself into that final. I'm sorry.
Yeah, for sure. And that wasn't why I felt that way. I didn't feel that way because he forced himself in. But I just felt like, listen, you got to leverage like the value of this guy. And what's that value going to look like over time? So I'm open to those strategic like plays in terms of the club, and I can overlook sentimentality. My childhood, I'm sentimental about athletes, but as a grown man, I don't really, you know, I can get over the sentimentality. So my egregious statement is I think it's time to sell Sonny. I think it's time that Spurs find the right bidder. And the reason is pretty simple. I forget his age. He's either 30 or 31. If I were to describe Sonny to someone who knew nothing about football, and I were to describe him as a player, I would say he is immensely talented and likely one of the best in the world at what he does. However, he hits these streaks where he is remarkably ineffective. He doesn't show up in games at times. Sometimes when you sit him down and give him a little reset, he comes back, you know, hot and can make some cool things happen. He is the captain of his country team, and they burn the crap out of him. Every time he goes out to play with them, he comes back, you know, just beaten and not ready to.
That's when his form dips.
And his form dips significantly. And let's be honest, Sonny is probably on the slightly downward trajectory of his value. And I think if we continue to project it out, do I see it changing for Son? Do I think Son's going to be more impactful, more healthy, less burned out by Korea and all these other things? No, I think with Son, we're going to continue to see much of what we see now, and we'll continue to feel the frustrations we have when he's not performing at those levels that we would love to. And I totally understand. He's a, I hate the word talisman, but he is a talisman. He is the club in a lot of ways to a lot of people. He brings in a segment of the world population that nobody else is bringing in. I get the value, and he's the best mascot in the history of Spurs, in my opinion. Like, you want him to be Spurs, like Ledley King is Spurs for, you know, the foreseeable future. But as a player immediately right now, I feel like it might be time to let him go. And I'm curious what you think on that. How do you feel? Is there any logic to that, or do you see it differently?
So, that's a lot to unpack there. So, I mean, in terms of guys coming out and playing for the badge, Sonny has always been out there playing for the badge. I think that he loves this club, and I think that, you know, the club rewards him for his efforts and for the work that he's done, what he's done for the club internationally with the Asian community and that kind of stuff. And
he's adored. He's absolutely adored, right?
Absolutely adored. He's adored in Tottenham. He's adored, you know, by Spurs fans around the world. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as his production goes, it does have something to do with international duty. It does have something to do with the fact that we've never had rotation for him, you know?
Right.
We've never had rotation for him. I mean,
and we still kind of don't, you know what I mean? We have Richie, but we
don't, though. We don't have Brennan Johnson. We don't have, you know, Brennan Johnson is way better on the right hand side. Mm-hmm. Richie is easily more of a center forward
for sure
right now in his career, at least, or with Spurs in this system. Sonny has, I think, had a lot of undue stress put on him by not only his international duties, his extracurricular activities, but the stress put on him by wearing that armband.
Like, you're talking about those ice cream commercials he does and whatnot.
You like that, didn't you?
That was funny. That was good.
It's the commercials. It's the modeling. It's the
You
know, all the other shit. You know, he is, you know, Beckham handled it, right? And he had maybe even a tougher time because he had an ultra famous girlfriend at the time and now wife, you know.
But yeah.
Sonny is still trying to be kind of a private person, and he's English, right?
Yep.
Sonny is still trying to be kind of a private person, but like, mm-hmm. I think that this season especially, he's have been asked to do much, much more. You know, he's been asked to step in for easily the most legendary player that Tottenham's ever had. Mm-hmm. He's been asked to like shoulder that burden. Now, like Mickey Mantle did when you know he came in as a young man and DiMaggio retired, and he was like, "Now it's on you, Mick." You know, there are a cast of characters that can like alleviate some of that, but like Sonny's downfall, I think, leads to his overuse. Comes from his overuse throughout the past 2-3 seasons.
For sure.
You know,
and just a quick interjection too. Like, I believe everything Ange says except for one thing. Ange supposedly has said that he's going to build the future squad around Sonny, which I don't believe. I don't buy. Like, in what world do you build your club around a 30 plus year old forward? I just don't think it's the long play, if there's an actual long play to be had.
I think with Ange, there's a mentality piece to that too, right? Okay. Try and keep his players in that right headspace, right? By giving him that armband, you know, when really probably the captain of the team, and barring, you know, a few bonehead incidents this year, the captain of the team for me has been Romero.
100% agree.
100%. So
and Davies, if there was a vice captain, I was going to choose, you know, just for
Mr. 6-7 out of 10.
Yeah, you know, old reliable, right?
He is. But like for Sonny, the other thing is that they're asking him to play a new position, you know, where he's not necessarily as comfortable. He's having trouble with his touch, you know, and he doesn't do hold up play. You know, he doesn't do that kind of thing. He's a guy who runs to the middle. He's a guy who runs down the wings. He's not a 1v1 specialist anymore. He can't take on a guy, come across the front of the box and just shoot. He just doesn't do that stuff anymore. So like, we have to understand as fans, we need to understand his limitations now, you know, and it's a lot of it has come from overuse and overexposure and the travel and like all of it. Like it's very difficult on a man his age who's been playing. Yeah, I know I say that, and like Messi's like 37, like
right,
he's a kid to me, right?
Which is still a kid. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, Suarez like the same age, but he looks like he's 55. But Sonny, you know, I don't necessarily know that we need to sell him, but we do need to find someone who can spell him and rest him. And I think the best way you do that right now is probably, you know, rotating Brennan Johnson through that position.
Saying play Sonny on the left, not play him centrally.
You can't play him centrally. You have to rely on Richarlison.
Yeah.
You have to rely on maybe even Decky through the middle. But, you know, Decky's a young man. He's a big, strong dude, right? But for me, like, I don't necessarily think you have to sell Sonny. I mean, yes, I understand the business piece of that, and capitalizing on what he is. But he hasn't found a way to grow in the same way kind of Harry Kane did, like grow and evolve. Harry Kane started dropping back, right? A little bit more.
Right.
He started dropping back. He became more of a facilitator. Like,
true. Kane did expand his game. You're right.
And that's what great Harry Kane was great at, was being, finding a way to be just as effective by being less selfish.
Do you know when Sonny's contract expires? How long is he under contract?
I don't know. I honestly feel like he just signed a contract maybe last year or the year before, maybe a 3-year, something like that, 3 to 5 year. But like, those contracts mean, they really mean nothing in the long term.
Yeah, what they mean is
the short term.
They eventually force the team to make a decision, right? Because you either leverage to try to get some value or you let him go on a free. And I guess that's the real question with Sonny, right? Like, let's imagine he's got 2 more years left on that contract. You know, what do we envision him being as a player 2 years from now? And what is that value going to be then versus what it might be now? To me, that's why the whole idea, and you've made a good argument, you know, why you keep him around and try to put him in a good position and leverage the things he's good at and the things he brings.
I also think that like, if you find a rotation for Sonny, you know, he sat down for a little bit last year. We found out later he was injured, but he sat down for a little bit last year. He did not like that.
And he came back. He came back.
Scored a fucking hat trick. in one half, right? He was pissed. He was like, I'll show you.
Yeah.
That it's a different situation at the club now. Like the club trusts Ange, you know, Ange, mm-hmm. you know, the players seem to really, really like Ange. You never hear anybody talking shit about the manager anymore.
No,
not even like in one iota of like dissent at all. Right.
You're right.
There's a lot of big stuff going on at this club. And I think that if there's anybody who can convince Sonny that like, you know, mate, you need a rest.
Yeah.
It's probably Ange.
It's better for the team and it's probably better for you long term if you take a right. seat every once in a while.
Right. So I mean, maybe we thought that we were gonna have a lot of rotation out there. A lot of injuries, you know.
Yeah, we don't have the depth yet. We don't have the depth.
And we don't have
I'm excited about what it could be, you know, but
yeah, like Manner Solomon is still injured and like we just don't know what's happening.
It's true. You love Manner Solomon too. You're gonna be excited when he comes back.
Yeah,
that's what else? Thanks for you know indulging me with the Sonny conversation.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
Where else you want to go? What else you want to hit?
Look, let's. I really wanted to kind of talk about like VAR and that kind of stuff, but you know, I don't think this is like I'm in a good space right now. Let's talk about guys who love the club.
Okay.
And the guys that play for that badge because. There are three in particular that I've noticed that you know.
Let's put some parameters around how we do it. You want to play a fun little game here?
Let's play a game.
How about say the name and then you only get three words to describe what it is about that player that shows or demonstrates how they love the badge and play for the club. You up for that?
Yeah.
All right, give me one. Let's hear it.
Let's start off with Pedro Porro.
Okay. Do I get to go next, by the way?
Yes.
All right. Awesome. We'll alternate. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Pedro Porro. What are the three words?
Three words. Smiles.
Okay.
I want to say sly smiles because, you know, he has that.
I'll give you that. It's a hyphenated word. I'll give you that.
Okay. Because it's kind of like he has that like. When he tries one of those long looping shots or long crosses that just miss, he always kind of has that little smile and he's like points his finger. He's like, I almost got you.
he's like, you motherfucker.
Yeah. I think speed, and understanding.
I like it.
I think.
Talk to me more about the understanding.
The understanding, understanding his position on the field, understanding where he needs to be in the system. And also understanding that he needs to evolve as a player defensively, you know, and where he was last year versus this year. So I think that understanding is creating a lot of like his speed, and he knows that his speed can affect the game from that position. And I think the overall like the smiles. Those smiles come from like the love of the game, the love of where he is, love of what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. So I like it. Well done. All right. Yeah. I'm going to go next. You gave me the layup, so I'm going to take it. I'm going to say Christian Romero. And my three words would be relentless is one. The other, and that word speaks for itself. The other I would say is confident. And what I mean is I have always loved the way he brings a sense of calm and confidence to playing the ball out of the back when he should be looking nervous. He just is contained and keeps it together. And building off that, the third word would be measured. I have been remarkably impressed with how Romero has changed his game this year. You know, it's not like he gave up the intangible intensity and threat that he brings, but listen, his style of play can get him into trouble and get us into trouble. And he has done a remarkable job of reeling it in while not changing who he is and how he plays and the presence that he's able to, you know, exert on the pitch, as it relates to other players. So those would be my three on Romero.
Nice. I really like that one. Thanks. Yeah. My next guy, and I think that like this might be another layup, but Mickey Van de Ven. Mm-hmm. Again, speed.
Did you know he's the fastest player in the Premier League this year? every broadcast, they make a point since 2020 when they started keeping stats. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every broadcast they make that comment.
They needed to start keeping stats because nobody was in the stands. So they needed something to talk about. So the speed has gotten you know, Spurs, like, this system does not allow for somebody to just sit back and play defense, right? We didn't know what the system was going to look like, so when they got Mickey, we were like, you know, who was the dude we wanted? I don't even know who he is now. The other dude, Tapsoba,
yeah.
yeah. I mean, he's still brilliant, but
he's still pretty good.
Yeah. But like, we didn't know what we were getting. We thought we were getting the second choice, right? But we didn't know what the system was going to look like. We didn't know that, like, he plays almost a reckless high line.
Right.
And it relies on the center back speed to track back and play defense. This team is never going to ever going to change to a point where it sits back in place. You know, I don't care if you got a 5-0 lead, you're still playing that high line or you're down by 10, you know, it doesn't matter. You're playing that high line, and the defense in this system relies on the speed of the center backs, the speed of the, for lack of a better term, wing backs. But yeah, speed. That's one. I think calm.
Oh, I thought you were going to say handsome. I thought you were going to use one word on handsome, but
no.
I'll give you a freebie on that one.
Okay. It's handsomes. We don't have to mention that. Calm. Again, like Romero, like, I think Romero's more measured, mm-hmm. but Mickey doesn't seem to be bothered by having to run and yeah. come and cover for other people. But when he gets the ball, he never, ever, ever has any sense of like, holy fuck, I gotta get rid of this now.
Yeah.
I gotcha. There's never any of that.
Yep.
He knows what he wants to do with the ball almost before he does it. He rarely makes a mistake. I think Mickey has been a fucking revelation this year, but he, you know, he's obviously not going to be that guy who's, you know, if you're playing, you know, three at the back, he's never going to be that type of a guy who's going to just sit there and defend. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to be a one-on-one defender. He's not that type of player. But what he does in this system is outrageous. And sometimes you need a system player.
Yeah, I like it.
And the third one is the badge.
Again, two words, but I'll give you that. Okay. It's one word. I gotcha.
Yeah. The badge is every single time you see that guy involved.
Yeah, you like that. You like the badge tribute, right?
Yeah, I really, really do. It seems like something that footballers have. Even some NFL players, you know, will point to their shirt.
Right. You'll get the
Yeah.
Yep. You know, baseball players don't usually do that.
No. Much. Some NFL players will point to the back of their shirt with their name on the back because they're assholes and they're overpaid. But like, you see it sometimes with footballers, but you see it less and less these days. And I really think, and you really saw when he scored that goal, which it was a goal. It's still a goal. It's for me, it's a goal. Should have been called a goal. They didn't even want to look at the two deflections with Tomiyasu went for the ball. But it is the badge. He celebrated with his friends, with his teammates. Then he went up to the camera. He pointed.
Yeah.
He pointed to the badge. Earlier on in the season, he had kissed the badge.
Yep.
You know, for me, that is respect to the club. That is respect to the fans. And that's respect to your teammates. And respect for me is a big deal for these players because a lot of them are overpriced, overpaid fucking babies, you know?
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, Neymar, Mbappe, like ultra-talented players who have too many people around them telling them how great they are. And I don't think we don't have a lot of those players on Tottenham Hotspur. We don't.
No, I agree with you there. I agree. All right. I'm going to do another one. Then let's do one more each. How's that? How's
all
that
right. Sound?
Yeah. Is that good? So interesting trend developing. I'm going to go Vicario. And the interesting trend is like we've been talking about the back line a lot, right? Poro, Romero, Van de Ven, and now Vicario, who obviously is in the back. I like the dude. Now there's some caveats here. He's got some stuff to work on. He is not the finished product by any means, but my words with him would be one is crazy, and he's crazy in a way that I like. You know, he's first of all, he gets those crazy eyes and
good crazy,
he's demonstrative, and he's talking to his teammates, and he's trying to command them on the field, etc. Now second word, and this is actually not a complimentary word, but I have to use this to describe him. He's glitchy kind of. And what I mean by that is going back to us talking about the set pieces, you know, and like watching Ben White torment him and watching Ben White get in his head was really frustrating and annoying. But I love his glitchiness because I think he'll be able to sort it out over time. And the third word I would use is he's aggressive in the right ways. I like the intensity with which he comes off his line, comes out of his box, the way he gets after loose balls. I like the way he communicates with his center backs and the way that they seem to have a good, you know, three-man kind of play that works very well together. You know, overall, again, he's got some work to do. He's young. He's young as a goalkeeper. He's not young as a footballer. But I think he does play for the badge. I think he loves being with Spurs. I think, like Van de Ven, your point about the badge, I feel like some of these guys that get their opportunity to come to the Prem, you know, have a kind of loyalty that's different than guys who came up in the English system. You know what I mean? Like a Dutch guy, an Italian guy who came up in other leagues, they have a respect for the club that gave them the shot, you know, and I think that's cool and that's exciting. So that's why Vic makes my list.
All right.
Cool. What do you got? Who's your next one?
My next one. I don't want to take your next one because I think I know where you're going, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Actually, I have no idea where I'm going next. So you're golden. I'm going to react off you.
Dan Kulusevski.
Oh, easy one. Yeah. Easy one.
A guy who never complains. So I think loyal is a word for Dejan Kulusevski. Mm-hmm. He's loyal to his teammates. He's loyal to his club. The way that he speaks, he is very, I don't know. He's kind of to the point. He doesn't beat around the bush. What was the quote he just said? It was like something to the matter that like we can play with this Arsenal team. Mm-hmm. They're one of the best teams in the world. We can play with this team. He said, I don't think we were overplayed or outplayed by them at all. We just lacked the mentality and the maturity. Which brings me to my second word with him.
Okay.
Is man, I don't know if I want to use mature. No, I'm going to use wise. I think he's wise. I think he's a wise. I like
that. He's a For wise. What is he? He's like 22, isn't he?
He's 23, turning 24 23. Or something.
Okay.
Like, so you have to understand that this is like in the grand scheme of things, a fucking child out there, right? He's a kid out there. And he has, again, going back to the way he speaks about his team, about his club, about the way he grew up playing soccer, you know, and I think it all plays into kind of the way that he plays the game, he approaches the game. I think he's always prepared. I think he's always working because you never know when your next opportunity is going to be either ripped mm-hmm. away from you or when it's going to come. Right.
Yeah.
And
his history has been one that's been a little bit shaky. So he's always on the
verge. He was in a bad run of form. And
he was, yeah.
And I think that like the fact that he doesn't complain about playing time or anything like that. He doesn't mind his role on the team, where he's going to be. I think that comes a little bit probably from being kind of cast aside and left for dead at Juventus.
Yeah.
But
was that a Players Tribune piece or an Athletic piece that he did that he wrote within the last 3-4 months? It was really, really good, kind of talking about his experience there and then coming to Spurs and the difference.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think when you, and it's probably true for any player, but when you're taken in by a team or a club as a pro athlete from a place that was kind of a little bit toxic for you. Mm-hmm. I think that, and maybe it's true for anything in life, when you're given those opportunities that you weren't given at other places, it really pumps up your ego a little bit. And I think he demonstrates so much self-control with that. You know, we've seen him act a little bit childish, you know, we've seen him go after some tackles that like maybe he shouldn't have. But my third word for him is strength.
I like it.
We saw like he had a good run of form earlier in the season before he had a little bit of a knock, right?
Yep.
And he had a really good run of form, and we were like doing the thing that Spurs fans always do when there's a guy who refuses to have the ball taken off of him, and which he showed again in spades in this last game, which is like we did that Moussa Dembele, like guy who refuses to have the ball taken from him. You know, he did a lot of that, like, and it wasn't just him. There's a lot of guys out there who were like in this last game showed like, hey, we're not to be trifled with. You can't fuck with us unless we're, you know, on a corner kick. But I think that this team, I think Deki can be a real anchor for this team, and his strength and his positivity really I really believe that like he is another one of those guys who's kind of captain material, and maybe not for us, but maybe somewhere down the road he will be a leader of a team. And you know, we want to keep these guys around for as long as we possibly can have them.
Valid. I like where you're going.
I think we had just have a lot of really great personalities on the team.
Yeah, agreed. Still work to do, but I agree. Yeah. So check this out. I'm gonna shock you here. I'm going full circle on my last one for you. And because I know 15 minutes ago I said we should contemplate selling this guy, and I still think that, but I'm going to say Sonny. And so I want to make the distinction of I'm not saying performing for the badge, because that's not always happening, but playing for the badge, I absolutely think that Sonny does that. Sonny is true, and that's one word. Like he's true to the team. He's true to his teammates. He's true to who he is. He's true to the fans. Like he is exactly what you think he is, and that is a great dude and an incredible footballer, right? So that's one thing. He's respected. Yeah, his teammate, you know, sitting behind Harry Kane, he never really had that platform, but it's really interesting when you see the players, his fellow teammates, talk about him. You know how they do those like cheesy when they're walking into the training facility and the ladies there with the microphone asking them questions. You know, a couple weeks ago, like they're like one word to describe Sonny, and you know all these guys are given words, and all of the words were like leader, role model, like my idol, like my dad, like just respectful words towards someone that they see value in, and I think mm-hmm. that's fantastic. And then the final word would be skilled. Like, listen, he is a stud. There are things that he is the best in the world at. There are times that he's run into the ground and can't perform them, but you know, that combination of his love of the team, his desire to do well, he's exactly what you would want in a teammate. If you're going to draw up the version of who you would want to have on a team that you're creating, you'd want a Sonny on your team for 100%. All kinds of reasons. So I still think selling him might be the right, you know, strategic play, but man, he plays for the badge, and you definitely can't take that away.
100%.
That was fun, man. I like
that. That was actually kind of fun. It made me think a little bit, like, why do why do I love these players, and what, you know, what do they bring to this club, and you know, where can we go with them?
Yeah.
I mean,
and let's be honest, we will go somewhere with lots of them, not all of them, right? Like, I'm actually looking at the roster now. There are guys we know won't be around next year. You know, there will be new faces brought in. There hopefully will be depth. There will hopefully, you know, guys that should be good but aren't that good will have competition, and that'll help make them better. You know, like, there's a lot to be done.
And one thing I know, Dave, is that if they don't pass the Ange test, they're not coming to our fucking club.
Yeah.
And
the Ange test is different than other people's tests.
And I think I think that the Ange test is largely based on the character of the player.
Yeah.
Like, not just the character of the player, the character of the person in the player that the player is, you know?
Yeah. I would be shocked if Ange ever brought in a clubhouse cancer, right? Like, somebody who is risky in terms of how they would affect the squad. I just don't see that happening. I think he's got too much value to the type of environment he's trying to create.
It's not like other clubs who will keep those players around because maybe they're really skilled. Maybe they need them a lot, you know, like, I'm just gonna, I'll leave it at this, is that I still can't fucking believe that Thomas Partey is on a fucking professional soccer field.
Yeah, I don't get that either. I don't get that either.
We'll leave that there.
How about a closing thought real quick? Let's wrap this up so we can get moving on. What do you got?
Closing thought for me, guys, shit happened.
That's life.
Look, did anybody in their right mind think that we were going to get Champions League this year? No. I mean, Paul Merson thought we were going to be fucking relegated. we were never going to be relegated, but I can tell you straight up right now that fifth spot, that fifth spot right now, whether we get fifth, whether we get sixth, you know, even seventh, I don't think seventh is happening. Fifth or sixth, if somehow Manchester United pulls out some sort of friggin' miracle and takes fifth from us, fine. We're not where we were last year. We're loads better. We're way more fun to watch. And, you know, in the end, like, what did we really expect from this club this year after what we experienced last year? We brought a bunch of guys in that were either relegated or cast offs from their team or forgotten about, or, you know, we brought in those players, guys that nobody knew, wearing Volkswagen shirts, you know, green Volkswagen shirts, big, tall, fast guys. You know, names that nobody had ever heard of, and you know, little skinny Italians who have fiery attitudes, you know, and I'm not talking about our past manager. Like, we brought in all these players this year, and what did anybody expect? We lost our captain. We lost our second captain.
Mm-hmm.
One went to Los Angeles. One went to Berlin.
Munich,
yep. Not Berlin. You know,
different country, but yeah,
nobody wants to go to Berlin. I had Bayern in my mind, and I thought Berlin. That's awful, isn't it? But we lost two of our talisman. You know, we shouldn't be sniffing anywhere near top four. We're probably out of the top four race right now, but. Fifth is not bad, man. We're going to have Europe next year. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've been watching a lot of the Champions League, and the Champions League didn't really get interesting until the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
It really didn't get interesting until the quarterfinals. Yeah. And I can tell you that Europa has been interesting and fun to watch the entire tournament.
Let's go win Europa next year. Like,
let's go win Europa next year.
Yeah.
Let's bolster the team. Let's get some new players, some new faces in, some guys that are going to make a difference. Some guys are going to be able to rotate and rest the players that we need rested for the important game, for the very important games. And let's get on this train and just ride it and have a great time, because it was miserable for a few weeks, and that's going to happen. It's the Premier League. It's the hardest league in the world.
I mean, but, Mike, would you accept this? This is my closing thought. I'm going to build on yours. Would you accept we're in Europa next year and we win it and we finish top three next year, and then the following year we win the league and win Champions League? Would you accept that as a reasonable and exciting outcome over 3 years of Ange's tenure?
Not because we've lost to Fulham and Arsenal recently, and Newcastle and Ange out.
Yeah, there you have it, man. Your negativity wins the day.
I cannot take a positive manager. I just can't do it. I can't do it.
It's too frustrating.
It's too frustrating.
If they don't do exactly what I want, they need to be gone. That's really how life should work, right?
Yeah. I mean,
all right.
Sorry about the sarcasm there, Dave.
Yeah, no, I was with you. I had it. Hey, if Steve was here right now, I would ask him what he had to say, and he'd say, Kois, and don't be an asshole, which you just touched upon with the sarcastic take on some of our fellow alleged fans. What would you say, Mike, if I asked you what you had to share?
You know what, guys? I'm not going to get too far into this this closing thought right now, but
you're not going to give like a long.
I really can't today. But
it's tough out there.
Want everybody to know that, like, it's time to start mowing your lawn, right? Dude, don't stick your hand. I'm just kidding. Just everybody, make sure you go out there and in your life and your everyday life, just be safe.
I like it. And what else?
You know, Tottenham Hotspur action. It's still fantastic.